All right, there you go.
Good.
There you go. And you're alive, brother, for this.
All right, good to be here on this good Lord's Day.
Amen.
Thank him for his mercy and his grace.
Yes, Lord.
I tell you, he's certainly better to us than we deserve him to be, but I'm glad he is. You know, I don't understand a lot of things about the Lord, things the way he works, how he works, but I'm just glad he does.
Amen, you know, Brother Mark.
He
Amen.
Does. You know, God's an amazing, he's an amazing person.
Bless you, Brother Mark.
I mean, there's no end to learning about him.
Bless you, brother.
And if you ever think you got him figured out, then you're going to, he'll do something different to show you you don't.
Bless your heart.
So, it's just amazing. I just love, it's just,
overwhelming.
You know, it's a shame that people don't know him.
Yeah. They resist him.
They can't. Yeah. It ain't that they can't. They don't. Yeah. They won't. I don't know what the problem is, but like I said, I don't understand a lot about him, but what I know I like.
Yeah.
And, but it's good to see you out today. Just we already had prayer for Kay. Need to pray for her. She's had another rough week. Did eat just a little bit yesterday evening, our first time in about 6 days. And, living on insurers and mercy of the Lord, basically. So I don't know what's going on with her. So y'all just pray for her.
Amen.
Pray for our nation. Anybody else got anything on your heart before we move on?
Pray for them people in Ukraine. I don't understand that over there, but I'm just glad I'm not there.
Mm.
But remember those people in Ukraine. I know it's political. It's hard to figure some of this stuff out. They're just cloak and dagger. They won't tell anything anymore. A lot of stuff going on right now that we ought to be aware of, but they don't. They're just keeping us in the dark. On remember those people in Ukraine.
Yeah. All right, Brother Ed, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Our Father in heaven, Lord, we bow before you in this morning. God, we're so thankful.
Yes, thank you.
We thank you that you gave us another opportunity to be back in your house today. Lord, we ask God you'll just bless everybody that comes this way.
Yes, help us.
God, just fill our hearts with whatever it needs this morning, God. We know you're here and you're with us. We thank you so much for that, God, that you meet with us here. God, we ask you to bless Brother Mark as he stands to teach Sunday school.
Give to him, Lord, give to us.
When he stands to break the bread of life today, God.
Help, Lord.
We thank you for everything that you do in our life. We ask you to forgive us for our sins and our shortcomings. God, we know we fail you in many ways, knowingly sometimes and not knowingly, God. And we ask for forgiveness of it.
Bless
his name. We ask all these things.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Pick back up this morning on the last verse of chapter 6. As we continue on, we've been looking at the wickedness of man. We started there in Genesis chapter 5, looking at the generations of Noah, of Adam, I mean, and then how they ended up being with the generations of Noah, being his sons. God saw, the Bible said, God saw the wickedness of man, that their heart was evil continually.
Yeah.
We can blame everything we want to blame in this country. We can blame it on our government. We can blame it on this. We can blame it on it. But when it gets boiled right down to it, the problem is a wicked heart.
Bless you, brother.
And the Bible talks about our heart being wicked, desperately wicked. Who can know it?
Yeah.
And people say, well, you just need to trust your own heart. No, you don't need to trust your own heart. Well, it's wicked.
No.
You need to ask the Lord to give you a new heart.
Amen.
What he said. He'll
That's
take
right.
that old one out and give Amen. You a new one.
Daily.
We was talking about Lester Roloff a minute ago when he preached that message about Dr. Law and Dr. Grace.
Yeah.
And how Dr. Law pronounced him sick. And he said he was sick from top of his head to bottom of his feet.
Yeah.
And Dr. Grace come in and say, well, I'm going to do surgery on you and won't there be no scars on the outside.
Amen.
I'm going to give you a new heart.
Yeah.
I want it done.
Amen.
And so God's good. But anyway, all this come up and God gave Noah the commission to build the ark. And one of the things I thought about this week, or well, yesterday, I guess it was, I got to thinking about it. You know, I know the people probably thought Noah was nuts.
Oh, yeah.
For doing that. But don't you know they had to have some curiosity?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They had to be curious about, well, you know, we don't know what it is, but they probably had to know. He seems to know. He knows what he's doing. The reason why he knows is because God told him. Now, I don't know. It's still, we talked about the dimensions of it last week and how massive that thing was. Yep. And how big it was. And not to belittle any of the other Old Testament people, but Noah probably had one of the greatest tasks ever given to anybody in the Bible.
Yeah.
It was a devastating thing going to happen. But now look at the last verse of chapter 6, that'll be verse 22. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Now, as we come into chapter 7, we're going to be seeing some things taking place. But before God ever invited Noah and his family on board the ark, everything else had to be ready.
Yes.
God won't let nothing happen until everything else is ready.
Amen.
You know, we can look and say, well, we don't know why this is going on, and what's going on here. Yes, there's turmoil on our planet and Ukraine and all these other places. But nothing is going to happen in God's time until everything's ready. And, you know, somebody asked one time, well, as bad as this society is and our planet, why don't God just put an end to it? Well, he's going to.
Yeah.
But he's long-suffering.
Yes. Yes.
But I believe it's more than just long-suffering. I believe he has a plan on he does. So before anything else took place, before chapter 7 and anything else took place as chapter 7 comes into it, everything had to be ready. The ark had to be completed.
Right.
I want to go back now and look at verse 21. Verse 20. Let me go back there, verse 20, we're in chapter 6. Let me make sure.
I like that verse 19.
I
like that verse 19. He specified what to take.
Yeah, of all, they're going to bring it into the ark.
That male and female, that's what I like.
And he said, verse 20, of fowls after their kind. Caleb, yeah. Boy, ain't that good after their kind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'd like to read that in Gay Pride Month.
Yeah.
After their kind.
Yeah.
God knows what he's doing. After his kind, two of them sort shall come unto thee.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one thing is, Noah and his family did not go get animals. They come to him.
Yeah.
God gave them the sense to come to Noah.
Right.
Now, you know, if God can give animals sense, people need to get some sense.
Right.
Animals have got sense.
Yeah, yeah. That's right.
People, why they don't? Well, they do. How does a geese know to fly south in cold weather? And then when it changes again, how do they know to fly back north? Yeah. How do they get to where they're going?
Yeah.
God gives them sense
to
navigate. They know. And so the animals, they didn't go out and round them up. God gave them the sense to come unto him. Yeah. All the ones that he wanted them to come. They came. They came unto him to keep them alive. Now, God has done made it plain. He's going to destroy everything upon the face of the earth that he had created. He's given no instructions about building the ark, how to build it, things to do. And it was such a massive undertaking. It took 120 years to build it. And now the 120 years has passed. The ark is done. I believe that things are ready. And then you come to chapter 7. And this is the very first mention of an invitation in the Bible. The very first. it's not just the first mention of an invitation, mm-hmm. but there's a word that is used here. It's the first mention of it in the Bible. It's used more than this, but we'll look at it here in a second. And look what it said in Genesis chapter 7, verse 1, "And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous mm-hmm. before me in this generation."
Yeah.
Now, that's the first invitation mentioned in the Bible.
Yeah,
is to come. Now, I looked at that word righteous, and here's my question. What was it that made Noah righteous?
Bible said he was a just man.
Huh?
Bible said he was a just man in verse 9 of Genesis chapter 6. Perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God.
Yep, all those things are true. But I still believe there's one other thing that really actually made him righteous.
Obedience to God when God commanded him to be in the ark.
Yes, that also is true. Yeah. But I believe it's the same thing that justified Abraham. Look in chapter 15. Genesis 15. And look at verse,
verse 6.
That's what I'm looking at.
He believed in the Lord.
He believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness.
Mm. Yeah.
I believe what made Noah, I believe all those things y'all said are true.
Yeah.
But I believe what really made him righteous is he believed what God told him.
Yeah. That's right.
And he believed beyond sin, because he had never seen a flood.
Right.
Never seen rain. But he believed what the Lord said.
Believe that God was going to send it,
So I believe that it was, yes, he was a just man. He walked with the Lord. Mm-hmm. Although he obeyed God, did what God told him to do. We saw that there in the latter part of verse chapter 6. But I believe what really justified him and made him righteous was that he believed God. That is a same thing for us today. If we're going to be righteous, we're going to have to believe the Lord.
That's right.
And believe Him when we can't see it.
Right.
True.
He couldn't see it. He never seen it.
Right, right.
He just know what God told him. And the Bible said, let's go to
Hebrews
11 and verse 7. You got that, Brother Eddie?
Yeah.
By faith. It says we walk by faith and not by sight.
Yeah. That's exactly what we walk by.
Yeah.
By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, preparing an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. That's quite a statement by the man.
That's what he said.
That's exactly how we're saved, is by faith.
Oh, yeah.
We haven't seen God.
We believe
that he did die for us.
That's what God.
And we ask him to come into our heart and save
Thomas, he said, because you've seen, you believe. He said, bless all those that have not seen that.
But Noah moved with fear.
Yeah.
Because he believed what God said.
Yeah.
Amen. Let's go over to the book of Ezekiel.
That's a lot of black in today's world, fear of God.
Yes, it is. A lot.
Yeah.
What book did you say?
Ezekiel.
Okay.
And look at chapter 14.
Seems like nobody has to fear God anymore.
Seems that way anymore.
Yeah.
Ezekiel chapter 14, look at verse 14.
14:14, Ezekiel.
Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness.
Yeah.
Saith the Lord God. So what was it that delivered Noah? Righteousness.
Amen.
And what made him righteous? He believed the Lord.
Right.
So we can deliver our own souls by being righteous, by believing the Lord.
Yeah, that's true.
Verse 20 says almost the same thing. Though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter. They shall but deliver their own souls by their righteousness.
Is that right? So, yeah. Yes, Noah was a just man. He walked with God.
Mm-hmm.
Bible said he did. And because of that, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And he said, God said, the Lord said, now, I brought this up before, and I know I've dealt with it here at times past, back in chapter 7. You notice the word there, Lord, is all capital letters.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times you will see the Lord in the Bible as all capital. Sometimes you'll see a capital L, and then the rest of it will be regular case letters. But whenever you see all capitals, it is referring to God Himself, mm-hmm. Jehovah. That's His name.
Mm-hmm.
That's what He told Moses and Aaron. He said, right. My people don't know me by my name, Jehovah.
Mm-hmm.
And so whenever you see the Lord, we're talking about God Himself specifically.
Yeah.
So, and He said, I seen righteous before me in this generation. I'm going to tell you what, I believe if there's anything that the generation we're living in today needs to see is righteousness
right.
in God's
oh,
people.
Amen.
True.
And you know, it's not impossible
no.
to be so. I'm not self-righteous, I'd say righteous
mm-hmm.
By believing the Lord.
Amen.
But taking His word, believing His word, taking what He says as, you know, God said it, I believe it.
Yeah.
Somebody said one time, God said it, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it.
That's right.
Well, if God said it, it settles it, whether you believe it or not.
Amen.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to believe it for it to be settled. It's already settled.
Yeah.
But it does help you, and it'll help me
right.
to believe it.
Yeah, that's right.
So this world needs to see righteousness in God's people. Now, again, I said a minute ago, ain't no telling what kind of ridicule and persecution Noah went through. I mean, we don't know. I mean, they surely thought that this man was probably.
Storm, probably yeah.
I'm sure.
But they had to be some curiosity.
120 years, yeah.
I mean, 120 years, he didn't change what he was doing.
Oh.
And he not only worked on the ark, but the Bible called him a preacher of righteousness.
Yeah.
I believe he preached.
Yeah.
Flood coming.
You know? Whatever, how he was making that ark, and he's putting that pitch on, it's going to rain.
Right. I mean, he left behind a testimony to those that died that they should have, in a sense, gotten the ark. That's what made him righteous in that generation.
And God was gracious to him. Did he leave the door open 7 extra days from the beginning?
You mentioned about that Lord a while ago. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 4, it said, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and heaven, He became Lord over all that He created. It was God all the way till that verse, Genesis 2:4, and it's Lord God marrowing out. But He became Lord over all that He made.
Right.
Yeah,
He did.
Yeah.
And He still is.
Oh, yes.
He still is.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
So,
the Lord in the fullness thereof.
Before the invitation was given, everything had to be done.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
There is an appointed time for God's judgment and His salvation.
Amen, Brother Mark.
Let's look in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 2. Genesis, I mean 2 Corinthians. Got Genesis on my head.
It's okay.
2 Corinthians chapter 6.
That's good. Appointed time.
Second Corinthians 6:2.
Good morning, actually.
For He saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I. I used to say secured. That ain't what it says. It says succored. That's exactly how it's pronounced. Succored means to help thee.
Mm-hmm.
Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now you know, our brother Eddie say a minute ago, salvation is easy.
get lost heart.
When you get saved, I mean, the hard part been done.
You saved two words, remember me?
You know. Yeah. But you know, getting lost people to that place is the
yeah.
Effort comes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And well, people have got this idea, well, I'm gonna live my life like I want. And when everything's done, yeah. I just get saved when
yeah,
I want.
I had that mind 34
God years. Don't operate like that.
No.
I had that mind.
No.
When I get ready, I'll get saved. Yeah. And that's dumb, but I did it.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure, you know, you ain't the only one. A lot of people have done it. They think, well, you know, you can just get saved when you want, but according to what the Bible said, it's got to be an accepted time.
Oh, yeah.
Preparation
of heart evens of the Lord. Yeah.
It's His salvation. Bible says salvation is of the Lord.
Yeah.
And it's His right to offer it to whom, when, and where He wants.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
But He'll always offer it the same way through the blood of Christ.
Right. Yeah.
But you just don't get you just don't get up and well, I don't think I'm gonna get saved today. Well, you may, but
I know one thing. I say, this generation seeking while it may be found.
Yeah, right. I mean,
I want him while he's near.
Yes, Lord.
That'd be a hard way to live a day.
Yeah.
Now look at Hebrews.
Mark, while you were talking about that, I remember when William got saved before he passed away. That morning, he got saved before he passed away that night. But I thought about all the men and women, too, that had planted seed in his heart. And then here comes some that would water those seeds. But in the end, it was God that gives increase.
Always is.
God gives the increase.
Mm-hmm. One plants, one water, God gives increase.
Amen. Always is.
Yeah.
Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, very familiar verse. And as it is appointed unto men once to die.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But after this the judgment. That's an appointment.
That's right. Everybody will keep it.
Yeah.
There's an appointment time for judgment. There's an appointment time for salvation. So it's just a dangerous thing to people think, well, you know, I just live like I want and, you know, I get saved some other time. Well, maybe you will, maybe you won't. But anyway, the word come, first time it's mentioned in the Bible, first invitation given to us. Noah was righteous, I believe, because he believed God. He moved with fear to build that ark. And, you know, 120 years he worked, and his family worked on that thing. We dealt with it a couple of Sundays ago that probably for the first, I don't know how long, probably just Noah and his wife. Because his sons wasn't born until he was 500.
Right.
Lord.
my goodness.
Think about that, 500. they worked on that thing 120 years. Everything's ready. Invitation's given. And only 8 people got saved.
Right.
Well, Noah wasn't successful. Yes, he was.
Oh, yeah.
He did exactly what God told him to do.
Sure did, Brother Martin.
He was successful in the fact that he believed God.
He was a doer, not a hearer.
His family was saved. The animals that God gave and sent were saved. So success is not in us, it's in Him.
Right.
It's not what we do. Our success is not trying to play. You know, people think if you ain't got a big church and you don't baptize so many hundred a year, you ain't successful. Got nothing to do with that.
No.
God wants us to be faithful. Noah was faithful.
Yeah.
That made him successful in the eyes of God. Now let's look at the word come. Again, it's the first time it's mentioned in the Bible. Not the last time, but the first time. Isaiah. Go back again to Isaiah.
1:18.
Chapter 1.
That's a good one, too.
And verse 18. Well, the great Old Testament invitation. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. They shall be red like crimson. they shall be as wool. You remember that woman at the well, Jesus met that Samaritan woman? Yeah. You know what he done? He reasoned with her.
Sure did.
He said, how many husbands you got? Yeah. Yeah, so he reasoned with her about her sin. Yeah.
So I know. He said, you've had five, one got nine.
And told her, you drink of this water, you're going to thirst. Yeah. But you drink of the water I'm going to give, you'll never thirst.
Got her thirsty. Yeah.
And she said, are you greater than our father Jacob? Sure he was.
Yeah.
So what did he do? He reasoned.
Yeah, that's good. Right.
Boy, I'm glad God still reasons with sinners.
Amen. Yes, he reasons.
Amen.
He does. If you've ever been born again, he reasoned with you.
Yeah.
Sometime in your life.
Yeah.
And he may have done it a whole lot more than just once.
Amen.
You know, and he does it a whole lot more after you're saved also.
Yeah.
So, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. So that's a great invitation to come. Isaiah chapter 55.
Come by that one. Yeah. I like that one.
Isaiah chapter 55 and verse number 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye. Buy and eat, yea, come. Buy wine and milk without money, without price.
Hey, man, that's my God. That's heaven.
Salvation is free to us. You know, there's an old song, oh, y'all remember a lady, I don't know if she's still living or not, I guess she is, I ain't heard out of her a long time, but she's a gospel music singer, her name was Lois Jane.
Yes.
Years ago, oh man, she had one of the most beautiful voices I ever heard. She sung a song, if the price of salvation were silver and gold, all the poor of this world would be lost.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad it's not silver and gold.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty good, yeah.
Come, you can come. It's free.
Yeah.
That's an invitation to come. Matthew chapter 11.
Yeah, come on to me.
Come on,
verse 28.
Yep, Matthew 11, verse 28. Another one of the great invitations in the Bible.
Yeah.
Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I give you rest. Boy, I'm glad God saved you, gives you rest.
Amen.
I may not have rest in this world, well, I certainly don't, but I got rest.
Yeah, that's right.
But I got rest to know I got peace with God.
Yes.
I got rest to know if I die today, I'm going to have eternal rest.
Thank you, Jesus.
So he gives me rest.
That's right.
Amen.
I'm glad he still gives rest. He said, come.
That's right.
Well, ain't them good words?
Yeah.
Come. That means come.
Yeah.
You know, that's an invitation. Come.
That's what it is.
Started back in Genesis chapter 7. Come. And you know, they didn't start until God made it.
That's right.
Again, you can't come until you're invited.
Amen.
You know, when you get saved, you're put into the family of God, into His house. And He has the right to invite whoever He wants to come to His house. But I'm glad he still says come.
Yeah.
One more. Revelation.
Mm-hmm. Good one.
Book of the Revelation.
Yeah.
Chapter 22.
Yeah.
And verse 17.
Yeah.
Boy, ain't this good.
Yeah.
And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come.
Yep.
And let him that is athirst come.
Mm-hmm.
And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
I just noticed something right there. Looking at that word come, two of them are capital C's,
capital,
and one of them is just regular.
Yeah.
The Spirit and the bride say come, you know. I believe the Holy Ghost does a lot of inviting.
Oh, yeah.
Let him that is athirst come. Boy,
amen.
Tell you what, when you're lost, you're thirsty.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're hunting something real to have in your life. So Noah was given the invitation, come.
Yeah.
Four-letter word, but boy, it has a whole lot of meaning.
Amen.
And I'm glad he's still in the inviting business.
Yep.
Amen.
And the thing about that was, it wasn't just the invitation to Noah and his family, but it was also the invitation to the animals.
Yeah, mm-hmm. True.
Well, God don't give an invitation to animals. Well, he did.
Yeah, he did.
At least once. Now, I don't know how many species they were. You can read a lot of everybody's. Only thing I can find out that everybody's in agreement on, a lot of people are in disagreement on about everything.
Yeah.
Well, we don't know. They may be in this, may have been that. Maybe we don't know. But now, back in Genesis chapter 7, now here's what he said. Of course, he started this in chapter 6. Of every clean beast, thou shalt take to thee by sevens,
mm-hmm.
the male and his female, and the beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female.
Amen.
Now, I read something, and I don't remember who this person was, called his name, but I don't remember who it was. J. Vernon McGee said years ago, this professor or doctor or somebody offered $1 million if somebody could show them him in the Bible where there was a contradiction. $1 million.
Amen.
And somebody said, well, I've got it right here.
Mm-hmm.
In the animals. God said two by two, and then he says by seven. Well, ain't that a contradiction?
Clean animals, sacrifice.
And then the guy that offered the money said, well, no, it really wasn't. Because God knew what he was doing.
That's right.
Now, something I never thought about. Now, I've always been of the mindset to believe that when God said seven, he meant 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And I've always wondered, well, what happened to that seventh animal? Because you would have an odd number.
Mm-hmm.
You'd have, let's say you had six. You'd have a male and a female, a male and a female, a male and a female. There'd be three pair,
mm-hmm.
right? But you're going to have an odd animal if you count seven.
It may be seven pairs.
Be seven pairs.
Yeah.
Seven pairs.
Be seven pairs, yes. Of each species.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Why? Why so many?
Well, one sacrifice.
Sacrifice? And got to eat.
Hey, man. Main reason me and Brother Ed went up there.
That's right.
So
seven also is the perfect number.
Yeah, is the perfect number.
Rested on seventh day.
Yeah.
Now the unclean beast, which were they couldn't use for sacrifice or food, would be by two.
Right.
Male and female.
So it'd be sevens of clean and two of unclean. Now look at Genesis chapter 9. Let's go back to verse 2. I read this morning. I thought, boy, something ain't right. chapter 9, verse 2. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl, and of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth, upon all the fish of the sea, into your hands are they delivered. Do you remember when God told Adam he gave him dominion over him?
Right.
Yeah. I wonder why that don't work when you're fishing.
Yeah. I don't know.
If you had dominion on him, say, get on that hook.
Yeah.
But no, it only worked like that. But he told them right here that they would have fear of man. You know, animals inherently fear men.
Yes.
They do. I remember years ago when I was still working, this guy used to come in the shop a lot, Steve Kirby. I think Ronnie went to school with him.
I did.
He went on a trip to Alaska. And they got off and they went in this, where it was they were walking to. And he said, they had this big sign up and said, warning, you are now no longer the dominant species.
Hmm.
And he said, what that meant to me was that I'm grizzly food.
On the menu.
So, you know, when I see a sign like that, I think I'd want to head back south.
Yeah.
To say you're no longer the dominant species. But animals were to fear Noah I'm going to go to verse 3, chapter 9. We're talking about the seven by cleans. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given to you all things. Now, they couldn't eat the unclean, but they gave them sevens for the clean. So they were going to be on the ark well over a year. Then when they get off, all the species are going to be repopulate, replenish the earth, mm-hmm. and not just for the seed to be alive, but for food and sacrifice. So that's why God gave them by sevens and by two.
And then in the New Testament, he made all the animals clean, didn't he?
So, now you got to remember,
yeah,
Noah.
He did. Cleansed everything for our sake.
Right.
Noah working on this ark this whole time, and God still got all these plans.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. He said, now here's how you build the ark.
Yeah.
And he done all that, and then he got the ark done and said, wait a minute, Noah, we got more to do. Here's these plans. So he gave him the invitation, knowing his family come. Here come the animals. They come to him. Remember, they didn't go get them. They came to him.
Yeah.
Of the fowls also, by sevens, the male and female, to keep seed alive upon the face of the earth. Now, I'll deal with one other thing here, and we'll be done this week. In verse number 4, back in chapter 7. This would be, I would say, in my looking at it, the first stay of execution in the Bible. 120 years has passed. Invitations have been given. Noah and his family been invited. And God's waiting 7 days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 7 extra days.
Now, you know, even among God's judgment, he shows mercy.
Yeah. That's right.
Aren't you glad he does?
Amen.
I'm glad God shows mercy.
Amen, Brother Mark.
Psalm 142, maybe one of the latter Psalms. Every verse of that Psalm is, "His mercy shall endure forever."
That's right.
Yeah. Every verse.
Yeah.
His mercy shall
endure forever.
Well, I'm glad it does.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
So, 120 years, and they're into the last week. But we were talking about these animals, seven pairs, and the twos by unclean. Is it possible, and I'm just asking a question, that God let this door open 7 days to get all the animals in?
Mm-hmm. It was open.
It was open. How long would it have taken? You know, I'm just kind of the mind to believe that God gave the animals a sense to come to Noah.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't believe Noah had to drive them in the ark. I believe God gave them sense to go.
Yeah.
I believe they came, and I believe they went.
Yeah.
But ever how many animals it was, it's a bunch.
Yeah.
So, it shows God's mercy waiting upon man and also upon his creation. So I'm glad God's merciful.
Amen.
And he gave that invitation to come, all these animals to come, and all these things. And he said there, verse 7, "For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I've made will I destroy from off the face of the earth." Now here we go again, verse 5. Basically the same thing he said in the latter part of verse 6. "And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him." Now, yes, Noah was obedient. And he did what God asked him. We dealt with him a minute ago. What made him righteous? He believed God. He believed what the Lord said was going to happen. Even though he'd never seen it, he believed it.
Yeah.
But all this took place, 120 years, 7 days, and Noah did everything the Lord said.
You know what I believe, just at this, I'm just speculating, but in my mind, that there was not one drop of rain fell till God closed that.
Well, I don't believe it did either.
And then it started raining.
Yeah, we'll
see. They believed.
But it was already too late.
Too late?
Yeah, we'll see that.
The Bible said judgment waited in Noah's day.
Yeah.
And that's what you just got, like you said, waiting.
Waited.
It's coming, but.
Right.
It's coming.
Yes.
And knew not till the flood came and took them away.
The Bible said to obey is better than sacrifice.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And Noah obeyed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Obeying the sin of witchcraft.
Yeah.
And God saw righteousness in him, showed grace to him and his family.
Amen.
And I'm glad God still showed mercy.
Amen.
You know, God don't owe us nothing.
No, he don't.
He's not obligated to us in no way. All of his acts toward us are acts of mercy.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that he's merciful to me.
Amen.
I'm glad he is merciful, was merciful, is merciful, will be merciful.
Amen.
To me.
Amen.
I need it every day.
Same here.
God knows I'm seem like I'm always coming up short. But God shows mercy.
All of sin comes short, that's us.
So I mean, boy, all this work, 120 years of labor and all this work, now we've come to the place of the last 7 days.
Mm-hmm.
Man, wouldn't it? I wonder what would happen if through some means of miraculous events took place that we would hear the voice of God thunder out of heaven today and said, you got 7 days left.
Oh.
Yeah.
Had people been running over
one. What would you do?
Jonah's message was 40 days. It worked.
Yeah,
he didn't take no time to get on board.
Yeah.
What would you do? If God, if you knew you had 7 days left to live.
Yeah. Yeah, Jonah.
Or die.
He didn't say 40 years. He said 40 days. Man, I've heard that good.
Yeah.
You know. So I don't know.
But, that Psalms is 136.
Yeah.
For his mercy endures forever. It's at the end of every verse.
Amen.
136.
Yeah. I mean, it's great. His mercy endures forever. I'm glad you did.
Amen.
All right, y'all. Dismiss. We'll carry on next week. Or with
Amen. Let me get that.
How are you?
Good, brother. Good.
All right, Rick. Good.
Hello.
Good morning.
Me and electronics.
Well,
I can't even get it to work now. I get my glass on, maybe that'll help.
Are you in here?
Getting there.
Getting there.